Of all the characters that are in the Christmas story, I believe that Joseph is the one who receives the least attention. Of course, the focus is on Christ and his birth, as rightly so. But we do talk and think a lot about Mary and about the wise men and about the shepherds and the angels. While Joseph is always somewhere in the background. Good old Joseph. Solid, dependable, yet somehow easily forgotten and passed over. It is Matthew who tells us most about Joseph. Whereas Luke stresses the place or the part that Mary played, Joseph is talked about in Matthew. And Matthew wants us to focus on the dilemma that Joseph faced. Look at Matthew 1:19. And you note how the character of Moses is introduced into the story with this verse. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. That is after she has told him, of course, that she is pregnant. Now this Joseph, probably an older man, we would expect, was already set apart to be married to Mary, an arranged marriage. And he was known in his community, as it tells us there, as a righteous man. Some translations say he was a good man. He lived out his faith. He had a very strong faith. You read about his sacrifices. When Jesus came to be dedicated or consecrated at the temple, Joseph took sacrifices. We also read that he was very constantly taking his family to Jerusalem once a year for the Passover, once Jesus was born. He was a very God-fearing man. But the God-fearing part wasn't just words. It came out in the way he lived. He was honest. He was dependable. He was the type of character that you would like to know. And then we see that Joseph was not just a good and upstanding citizen, but he was also sensitive and caring as far as Mary was concerned. He must have felt dreadfully betrayed and hurt when Mary told him that she was pregnant and he did not understand the full story, as it were. And yet, as we look at that, we've seen to see that his thoughts seem to be of her more than of himself. Something's got to be done. He realises that. But he wants to do something that will be less disgraceful to his wife. And it seems also that Joseph was sensitive to the deep things of the Spirit. He had this connection with God. He heard God speaking to him. For Joseph, it was through dreams. I don't know if you noticed, but he had four dreams that we are told of. And in those dreams, God spoke to him. And he responded immediately to the instructions that he was given by the angel of the Lord. The first dream is the one that we read about in Matthew, the passage we just had from Matthew chapter 1. And in that dream, which comes straight or pretty soon after Mary had told him she was pregnant, the Lord tells Joseph to go ahead and marry her. The second dream occurs after the wise men have been to see him. And in that dream, he is told about Herod's anger, and he's told to go away from Bethlehem into Egypt. And he does. If you notice, when you look at that, it says straight away, in the night, he got up and went. He didn't even wait for the morning. He was on the way. The third dream came when he was in Egypt and nicely settled there. And he was told to go back to Israel. And he does. He obeys, goes back to Israel. But this is a time in his life when Joseph is shown to be rather fearful and anxious. Because he knows that King Herod's son is now ruling in his father's place, his father having died. And he's fearful. not quite sure what to do. So he has a fourth dream. In that dream, God tells him not to be fearful, but to go forth into Israel. And that dream, when you look at it, doesn't give him all the answers. It's as though he's left to work some things out for himself. And he goes on to Nazareth. The other major thing that both Matthew and Luke tell us about Joseph is that he is from the line of King David. Matthew tells us this through the dream. The angel announces, Joseph, son of David. Luke tells us through the information about the census that Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because he was of the line and of the lineage of King David. So we know that too. An interesting thing is that we don't know he's a carpenter from the nativity stories. We're not told in any of the nativity stories that he was a carpenter. And we wouldn't have known his occupation except for a kind of off-the-cuff comment that was made about Jesus when Jesus was ministering some 30 or so years later. Joseph is dead by this time. But someone in Nazareth said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. So we know from that that Joseph was a carpenter. So that's all the Bible tells us about Joseph. That's it. But I believe there is something else that the Christmas story relates about Joseph that refers to the cost of being obedient to the call of God. For out of all those in the Christmas story, including Mary, I believe it was Joseph who had to cope with the most stress by being obedient. Now, all of those in the Christmas story were obedient to one degree or another. But in the case of Mary and Joseph, and in particular Joseph, that obedience was super costly when you stop and think about it. The cost of obedience to Joseph. Well, it began when Mary came and told him that she was pregnant. The upheaval in his life started from that moment. Have you ever had one of those times when you've got some news and it's changed your life in a moment? You know, one day you're quite okay. The next day everything's changed. It might be about your health or someone else's health. It might be about your job. Suddenly you're redundant. It might be that you have some issue in a relationship. Suddenly your life's changed in a moment so quickly. Isn't it amazing how it happens? Well, it did for Joseph. Imagine one day Joseph was quite happily looking forward to being married to Mary and had his life mapped out. The next day, everything had changed. Suddenly, he had a decision to make about his whole future with Mary. And it seems that he thought a lot about it and decided that the best way out for himself was to divorce her. He had obviously by this time discounted any thought of marrying her. That's all he can think of now, is that he must divorce her. And it was only after the angel had told him that he must now marry Mary that he married her. And he did, because he was obedient to God. So straight away, being obedient meant for Joseph the pathway of greatest cost. Then even after he had chosen to be obedient, things didn't go smoothly. You know, I often find Christians saying to me, well, I believe that if I'm in the will of God, then everything will just go smoothly. I believe that once I've made the decision to do this, then everything will fall into place and it all will go hunky-dory and it will just be great. It wasn't that way for Joseph. You know what? It's not that way for us either, is it? The first thing was this census. When the census was announced, I reckon Joseph knew, oh, this has got something to do with me. And he also knew it would mean a journey. A journey with a very pregnant wife of 140 kilometres. We don't know whether they had a donkey. It's probably quite doubtful, actually. Probably taken them a week to get there, allowing for times to have stops. How many times he had to find accommodation, I don't know. But that journey would have been terrible. Really, really terrible. Just think how you would feel if you had that journey to do with an extremely pregnant wife and you knew you had to walk. And I reckon when Joseph got to the end of that journey, he thought, well, that's great. The worst is over. That was until he found that the birth looked like it was going to take place in a stable. And he was the one who was going to be the midwife. Here's this wonderful child coming to the world. You know, this is the Son of God. And Joseph, you've got to deliver it. Done it before? No. I think if I'd been Joseph, when I was in that stable with Mary, I'd be praying desperately to the Lord. Lord, don't let the birth happen tonight. If you just give us a few hours, perhaps a couple of days, we can find better accommodation. But Lord, whatever you do, just keep that baby within the womb just a little bit longer. But of course, the Lord had other plans. You ever prayed like that? The Lord's had other plans and you haven't understood it, but they've worked out in the end. That was Joseph. And then after the birth, when he had settled in that little house in Bethlehem and the wise men came and that was great, and then he had that other dream and he was told that Herod was out to get all the babies in that area and he had to go. And he had to make this midnight dash to safety to Egypt. Here he had the Son of God and he was responsible for getting that baby safely away from the king of the land who was desperate to destroy him. How would you feel? Terrible, terrible things. And straight away, he's on and going again from Bethlehem to Egypt in the middle of the night. And you can be sure that it was far from easy for Joseph and his family to be refugees in another land, to establish themselves in another culture without government assistance and the Red Cross. But he had to. But again, all that was part of being obedient to God. All part of what God wanted for him. And sure enough, he survived. Great. He survived in the land. They got themselves established. Then they had another dream. God said, "You're going back. Back you go to Israel, back to a land where Herod's son was now in charge." And Joseph went, but we know that that fact terrified him. He got to Israel and really didn't know where he should go. God sent him another dream. "Don't be afraid. I've got everything under control." And so Joseph went back to Nazareth. And so was fulfilled the scripture. You know, Joseph never stepped outside the centre of God's will. And yet for a time there, I would suggest that his life moved from one stressful moment to another. And yet I'm sure that when Joseph reached the end of his life, he did not focus on those hard things and other things that we're not told about. But he focused on the joy he felt because he, Joseph, had been used by God in God's plans for the world. That he had been willing to obey and he had persevered despite the cost. And God was saying to him, "You've been faithful." You know, whatever the Lord asks you to do, small or big, be assured that from the Lord, it's part of his plans for the world. And how exciting it is to be part of it. And sure, it might be a struggle for you. And sure, it might cost you. And sure, there'll be times when you go right down and times when you'll be right up. But one day, God will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little. I'm going to make you faithful over much." That's the exciting part. And so when I was thinking of a Bible verse to connect with Joseph, I came up with another one from Paul, from 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, the Message paraphrases that in this beautiful way. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see, they will last forever. And I'm sure Joseph would have said a hearty amen to that. And we who believe that we've been chosen by God, chosen to follow Him, that we know Him, and we are part now of His band, His army of workers on this earth, we also need to do the same thing. Because life for us won't be without its hardships. We're never told to expect life to flow without any problems once we commit our lives to Christ. But we are promised that He will be with us, that He will use every problem that comes our way to His glory. And He will not allow our suffering, our difficulties, to be wasted, but will use them to show His love and His power. That is wonderful. That's where I want to be. That's great to know that. I was thinking that's how it was with Joseph. I'm sure there were many times that he couldn't understand why life would keep going from bad to worse. Why life was so difficult when all he was doing was obeying God. Yet he persevered and God used him in the most amazing way. Bill Hybels, I end with a quote from Bill Hybels from the book The Power of a Whisper. Don't ever buy into the idea that everything God prompts his followers to do will be uncomplicated or low cost. Sometimes God asks his children to carry heavy loads, as he did with the Apostle Paul, we could say with Joseph. But even, and often especially, under those back-breaking burdens, God's purposes are fulfilled. When our task is tough, the reward of knowing we've helped further his kingdom and bettered our broken world is all the sweeter. If you ever find yourself with a difficult assignment, why not try giving God thanks for trusting you with something that needs your particular strength? He assigns tasks to the right person every time. He did it throughout history, and he still does it today. As you walk whatever potholed path he has asked you to walk, never forget the tough journey that Jesus himself once made. Christ was asked to bear the most difficult assignment of all, to lay down his life as a redemptive sacrifice for humankind. He chose to obey. Because of his obedience, you and I enjoy our redemption today. Praise the Lord.